Shimona Fort McMurray with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Noral Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So can you please reintroduce yourself to the people at home?
Now that it's dry?
Yeah.
Out in the rain, no more?
Yeah, at like 11 in the morning, yeah. Or night, I guess,
yeah. 10 o'clock at night, yeah. Well, I'm still Mike Durange. I'm, local to the region here. My family's from here. My wife, my kids, everybody. And I'm a local businessman. I've been here for, doing my business 20 years in the region. And it's my work, and I like it. My work's always been about provide an opportunity for my young people, in skilled trades. That's, something that I've passionate about, and I've put a lot of work into that in the last 20 years too. And it's, I like doing that stuff. That's my life's work.
There you go. Yeah. So you're no longer at the bottom of the super test, I'm assuming.
No.
There we go. So last time we sat and chatted off camera, we were talking about the voice you had made. I don't think you thought what was going to occurred when you put a TP up at the bottom of the super test.
Yeah.
And so now you actually have a voice. A lot of people are listening. You definitely started the conversation. I'm fascinated to hear what your kind of thought process was when you were down at the bottom of the super test. What was going on in your head? Because how many days did you go without eating?
I went 15 days.
So I'm not worried about what is to come. I want to hear more a little bit about the experience. I was there for about 3-4 days of it, but let's hear a little bit more, please.
Yeah, well, right off the hop, I would recommend every single person do a 72-hour fast. Mm. Your mind clears up, your body feels better. The first couple of days, it's tough, but once you're over that 72 hours, you start feeling a little better, and the health benefits are phenomenal. So sleeping, your body relaxes, like joint pain, everything. I had my shoulder was bugging me for the last couple of years. I hurt it there. Mm-hmm. And now I don't even feel it. I could full movement again. Feels freaking awesome. And I found out by mistake, I was just doing something in the morning time there, and I went to go scratch my back, and I'm like, holy shit, man, I got full movement in my shoulder.
Yeah.
And that's just from your body repairing itself, So that 72 hours, I recommend anybody do that. But, I went further than that. I went 15 days. And somebody was asking me, we had so many visitors come down, and somebody's asking me, how do you feel, about, this, what you're doing? And they started talking about, the children in Gaza, the young little children, all these little kids, who are having a tough time, starving to death. And I said, to be honest with you, I said, I'm at day 9 right now. And, I said, I think it's almost a reverse role for these children because, after day 6, I don't feel it no more. At all, period. I don't feel the hunger. I don't feel any of that stuff. I feel, good. So I think these poor little children, I think the roles reverse, with their parents having to, watch them, die. But in reality, the children's minds are probably calm. Their systems are calmed down. And mm-hmm. they probably just get to a point where everything just starts shutting down. And really, they're the ones who are, having to watch their, families watch them like that, So that's one of the things I thought about, when I was in the situation, and and kind of helped me, puts things into perspective. But when you go that long without food, your mind starts thinking different, your body goes into a survival mode, and you can start putting things into perspective, and you can start thinking about things more into detail. And that really really helped out in the conversations we had with people coming there. And had critics too as well. Some people would pull up there and not understanding what I'm doing and coming there with their systemic racist views of indigenous people that we've always have our hands out and stuff like that. But I sit down and I talk with everybody and I educate them. and that was the intent, was to educate people about what it is I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do it in an aggressive manner. I didn't want to do it in a manner that's, you know, blocking the highway or anything, because I know the second I do that, you know, I'll get arrested for one thing, but two, it'll feed into these people's, stereotype of the indigenous people, you know, that I should be doing all these other things, I should be exercising all these other avenues. You know, in reality, I did. And what I did was the last resort. I didn't want to do it. I shouldn't have had to do it, but I did it, and it's been done. Mm-hmm. And the message has been loud and clear. You know, I had so much support from the community, you know. And so, you know, a big thank you to, you know, everybody out there that came and stopped by and came and see me and checked up on me. And, you know, it meant a lot to me. And I was very, very fortunate, very, very lucky, because, you know, there's people that came there too that, you know, in the community who are, you know, movers and shakers in the community, you know. And it was good to hear their perspective and hear their support. You know, and then in the cover of darkness, people who couldn't be seen there came. You know, we had visitors 12 o'clock, midnight. Sometimes we sat and had discussions till 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I'm not kidding, you know. And, you know, but the overwhelming support was there, and the message was loud and clear that, you know, change has to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And you got Chief Vern with you there, too.
Yeah.
Man, the two of you guys. Juggernauts every day, just you and the two dogs. I was just like, man, these guys are really doing it. But like, the one thing that blew my mind was you guys were able to be so coherent and continue the conversation, even though, like you said, you weren't eating. People were there nonstop. Yeah. Like, literally, I would sit there and just people were rotating. The support was great, but that's great when you're fed, you're nourished, you're sleeping under like your normal conditions. With what the environment you guys put yourself in, it was wild to see how well you guys were able to just like continue and still like speak so fluently on the message that you guys were trying to broadcast. It was wild, man.
It was tough, actually. Seriously, it was tough, because when your body goes into a state of survival, your mind is like on a different level. Mm. You know, so if we have like this is reality, you know, our minds would be like this. So sometimes in the morning we'd have discussions, just me and Vern.
Yeah.
You know, and then during the day we'd kind of come down here and then we start talking with the people, you know, like on the level that, you know, everybody's at, you mm-hmm. know, like in mm-hmm. reality, day to day, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then that once that was done in the evening time, you know, we go back up to this other level and talk. And to us it was made perfect sense.
Yes.
You know, but when his nephews were there and we were talking, like, and he's like, do you guys have any idea just how crazy you guys sound right
yeah,
now?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And it was true, you know, and we didn't think about that. And then one morning Vern made a video too, you know, just the way he felt, you know, like, you know, one morning it was just beautiful. The sun came up and, you know, Vern was up at 6 o'clock and he made a video, and he's like, now I listen to that video now and I'm like, my mind was just in a total different area, you know. And they mentioned like what you talked about, how we, you know, had to come like go up and down like that, you know. And it was,
yeah,
you know, but the message was there. That was the important part. And I think, you know, that was with the help and the support of the people, you know, mm-hmm. creating an environment where people felt very open, people felt very calm, people felt very peaceful. Because after we ended it there, people were still coming there and showing up, and they'd call me and text me, and they're like, dude, you know, where are you guys at? You know, mm-hmm. I really like coming there, you know.
Yeah.
People were like sad, you know, I can't believe the teepees are down. I drive by there every day, and, you know, it's actually sad to see, you know.
But, for sure.
What created there was important, because it needed to be done in that manner. You know, we haven't had a protest like that for a long, long time, you know. I think ACFN did one where they partially blocked the highway, and then going way further back, you know, and the lady there from Fort Mackay, I forget her name, sorry, Dorothy McDonald, you know, they named the building after her, but, you know, she started that way back in the day, you know, to get the attention of industry and say, look, you know, we have you know, young people here who need employment. We have young people who want to start businesses. Our nations want to start businesses. These are some of the things that we need to do in the area, and, you know, you guys got to start working with us, you know. So we progressed from that time to where we are now, but things got off track again, you know, and we're trying to get things back on track through reconciliation, And that's the challenge right now, because, you know, I honestly don't believe that's being practiced here from industry, you know, because I know so many other people who are in the situation that I'm in right now, mm-hmm. you know. So aside from them acknowledging the fact that they're on Treaty 8, you know, nothing really gets done anymore. You know, we've created such a huge opportunity for all these other companies to come in here, you know, under the indigenous banner, you know, self-identifying as an indigenous person to further your company, and giving our joint venture partners all these opportunities. And, you know, the joint venture partners are okay. You know, some of them are really invested in the community and are indigenous people and hiring them, but there's a lot of them private, you know, companies who don't hire one single indigenous person that have joint partnerships with our nation. And these type of things, they need to stop, because, you know, we've created this opportunity for them. But we also need to stop this, because, you know, when Suncor, you know, when Today newspaper said that they spent $3.1 billion in the region, you know, you can almost lump all of our companies into that $3.1 billion, including our nation-owned companies, our entrepreneurs, and that would be solely just working for Suncor alone, you know. But we have CNRL, you know, we have Albion, we have, you know, Curl, all these other companies who also spend a lot of money in the region. You know, so when you take a look at it from that aspect, there's, you know, there's a lot of money that's being spent here.
Yeah.
And what we're saying on our part is that, you know, we want accountability on where this money's going. You know, we need this broken down as to really where this is going, how much is being spent. And that's the big question in my mind, because if you're saying you're spending this amount of money and we have all these young people going out of business, then there's a serious problem with it.
There you go. Time out. And we are back. Sorry, the battery died. All right. We are going to our next segment. This is Tanner's segment called the Mac City Minute. Yeah. It's brought to you by Carrie and Patchouli Rose. Tanner, hit him with the Mac City Minute.
All right. Question number one. What food did you miss the most while you were fasting?
My wife's cooking in general. I love my wife's cooking, so she cooks a lot of different things, so I can't nail it down to one thing. But I know that when I broke my fast, I always break my fast, so I have with cantaloupe and honeydew. So to be honest with you, the other fasts I've done, this cantaloupe and honeydew, I don't know where they got it, but that was like the best cantaloupe and honeydew I ever had in my life.
Well, that you've just answered my following question, is which food did you choose to break your fast with? That's how good at interviews you're getting, my friend. But we'll skip to question number three then. What is one thing you learned about yourself throughout the fast?
Sometimes you have to stand up, you know, knowing full well what the consequences are going to be, you know, how things are going to affect you, your family, you know, others around you, you know, even like, you know, like I said, you know, even our membership, you know, our leadership from my nation, you know, they were deeply affected by this too, you know. So were the other nations, with the discussions I've been having with people after the, you know, after we were done, is that, you know, this really did affect so many people in so many different ways. You know, there's a big question mark out there now as to where we go from here.
Question number four. If you could meet any person from history, who would you choose to meet?
Oh man, that's a really tough one. That's a really tough one. There's, you know, I read all kinds of books, you know, audio books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the way.
All different people from all different walks of life, Christian, stuff like that. But for me as a musician, John Bonham, the drummer from Led Zeppelin.
Oh.
Yeah. That's
I love where that answer went.
Yup. I was.
That was a left field answer, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And your final question, what is one fact you have about yourself people would be surprised to find out?
One fact about myself?
That people would be surprised to find out.
Well, I can't say, because then if I say that, then people won't want to listen to me anymore, so
yep.
We'll keep that hidden for now.
And that is a good enough answer. Those have been your five questions.
There we go. I love it.
Good questions.
Yeah.
Thank you. I try my best.
So, Led Zeppelin. They might be coming back. There's a rumor kicking around that they might come back for one more performance.
Wow.
I know. If anybody wants to give us tickets, I would love to attend. Just throwing it out there. If it does happen, we'd like to promote it. We'd love to film.
I'm sure Led plugs. Zeppelin needs our help.
Yeah, listen, you never know who's listening. So yeah.
I actually just watched their concert the other day, the very last one they had there in at the big place there in Europe there.
Yeah, in Wembley.
Wembley.
So they're a great band. So when you were at, like, what kind of, were you listening to that kind of music when you were out at the bottom of Supertest there?
No, we were listening to powwow music all the time. You met Alan, my he was like my brother.
We put the video out, you shared his one video.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's gone up on Noha's site yet, but I've seen it circulating anyways. Yeah.
So my job was to make sure the boombox is recharged every day, because as soon as we got up in the morning, Fern's Dene, Alan's Dene, I'm a half Dene, there was Dene music playing first thing in the morning, and it didn't stop all day long.
Yeah.
So we listened to straight powwow music the whole time. I listened to news, I think it was on day 11, because I always listen to news all the time, and I really haven't listened to much news since, but I actually felt like physically sick after listening to it for about an hour. I had to shut it off.
No doubt.
Yeah, because your mind is such a different area.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. Like, I remember the first time I did a sensory deprivation tank, and I came out of it afterwards. Like, things were different in regards to, it's so quiet in there that when you come out, the flick of a newspaper sounds so loud, you're just like, whoa, it's a thing.
Yeah.
So, like, times that by a quadrillion to what you were doing with your hunger strike, I can only imagine certain things would resonate differently during and potentially after for a few days, if not weeks.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful experience. It was my goal was 21 days, but the 15th day when I was there, or sort of the 14th day when I was there, you know, I had three people that came there, you know, my family, and then two my good bros there, and they were really concerned. I could see it in their eyes, you know.
Mm.
I felt like I could still do my 21 days, but, you know, they just, each of them had this similar message that, you know, what you're talking about here, what you've done is loud and clear. You know, people know about it. There's next steps that need to happen, you know, and if you want to be part of these next steps, you know, you can't be jeopardizing your health, you know. And so, you know, I listened to them, and I gave Vern a call, and I said, yeah, we'll end it tomorrow. And he said, okay, cool. And he said, so they organized a feast. Mel Grandjam, too, you know, he was one of the guys that come over too all the time and talk. And, you know, he organized a big part of it. The drummers coming over, you know, had a little round dance. And it was really good. It was beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful experience, you know. Like, but, you know, going back to the question of, accountability in the part of industry, you know, and then, you know, myself doing what I did, knowing full well that, you know, there's going to be repercussions, you know, that, you know, sometimes you have to do these things, you know, to see where you are as in a community, because I've been a part of the business community for 20 years now, you know, so in the back of my mind, going back to, you know, we were talking about, you know, the things that you need to do to see where your business is at. Well, you know, I did these things like joining NABA, other groups in the area, Keanu, some different boards, the municipal and provincial boards, and also to a national board that I was on. So I educated myself for the last 10 plus years about where we're at, where we need to go, how things need to happen. You know, so when I did this, it wasn't just spur of the moment. It was thought out, and I exercised every single opportunity that I thought I could. You know, when we had our meetings with NABA, you know, anybody can attest to what I'm talking about, because these are things that I always talked about. And even when I meet industry all the time, you know, when we were busy, every single meeting I had, I always brought up, you know, our young people as a resource for projects that they have, not just service sector or short-term work, that, you know, we have young people here that, you know, can be managers, can be bosses, can be, you know, can run shit, you know, like CEOs even, you know, we have that ability now. We have young people graduating from you know, Harvard, Oxford, all these places now, you know, record number of graduates across the universities in Canada, a record number of graduates here in McMurray. And also there's a huge resource that we have, and that's one thing I'm glad that, you know, Polivier is talking about right now, is utilizing, you know, our Canadian people right now, as opposed to, you know, what the Liberals are talking about by bringing in, you know, foreign workers again, because we have all the people that we need here. And as Indigenous young people, you know, right now they put themselves on a level playing field right now, so they actually represent, you know, a very capable, able, willing workforce that we can utilize now for the next 20 years easy.
There you go. Well, on that note, Tanner literally just tapped his watch. That means we are out of time.
All right.
But before we cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Shameless shout out or plug? What do you mean by plug? Like,
whatever you get from that meeting, you are up.
Well, I just want to say a big thank you to everybody in Fort McMurray that came and dropped by, that, you know, also people too that are still texting right now about my health and everything. I feel good. It was well needed. All the discussions that we had with everybody that came down there, thank you so much. Thank you for all the support from, you know, the people from McMurray. And people have to remember that, you know, we have the ability to you know, vote in the people that we need to change the course of what we're doing, and that's very important, being that we have elections and stuff coming up. So shout out to our leaders, and best of luck, and to everybody out there.
There we go. Awesome. Well, for McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norell Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose, and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hopefully everybody's having a great day.
Hi everyone, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst. Yeah.